we come today to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we want to talk about the subject of thankfulness. Be thankful for what we have been given in Christ, and let us have that as a thought before us as we come to the table. Please give your attention now to the reading of God's holy and inspired word, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." We cling to a promise in the reading of God's word. It's found in Isaiah chapter 55. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Our prayer this morning is that God would bless the reading and the hearing and the application of his perfect and holy word. Amen. I come to you with a question this morning. Who among us is as thankful as we should be? Who among us is as thankful as we should be? If you are a person who is as thankful as you should be, well, congratulations this morning. But for the rest of us, we have a few things to look at this morning. I think most of us would admit that we do fall short in giving thanks. I want us to see the Lord's Supper today as one of those ways that we can give thanks. It's also a time when we are reminded to be thankful when we come to the table. Well, in our preparing for the Lord's Supper, last week I mentioned how many different views there are in regard to the Lord's Supper. I mean, it truly is amazing how controversial of a subject that the Lord's Supper is, and how often we can't seem to, as a larger, all churches, I guess I'm thinking, how we have trouble defining the Lord's Supper, we have trouble deciding when and how to do it and what it means. And historically, the church has long struggled, though the Bible seems to be very clear on what the Lord's Supper is and how we should do it. Well, one of the things that we noticed last week is that it's not necessarily controversial, it's just neglected, really, that we should prepare for the Lord's Supper. And so I hope that as you come to the table today that you've prepared your heart and that you've spent some time examining yourself and looking at those things we talked about last week. Well, another aspect of the Lord's Supper that isn't quite so controversial but does tend to be neglected is just being thankful. Just being reminded of all that you've been given in the Lord's Supper. And I hope that that's something that we can bring out in the text this morning. Let's look for our definition. I always like to give good definitions, and our catechism is very good at that. Let's see here in our worship order the question. It's a simple question, but here's where all the controversy is. What is the Lord's Supper? Ask a dozen or 100 Christians and you'll get just as many answers, likely. But thankfully, we have a very clear statement, I believe certainly biblical, about what is the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a sacrament of the New Testament, wherein by giving and receiving bread and wine according to the appointment of Jesus Christ, his death is showed forth, and they that worthily communicate feed upon his body and blood, to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace, have their union and communion with him confirmed And here is a bit of our focus this morning. Testify and renew their thankfulness. Testify and renew their thankfulness. In engagement to God, in their mutual love and fellowship each with the other, as members of the same mystical body. We come before the Lord's table today, and we have the opportunity not only to give thanks, but also, I like the wording that's here in the larger catechism, to testify of our thankfulness, but also to renew our thankfulness. Often when we talk about being thankful, that's the way we talk about it, right? Be thankful. Be thankful. And we don't really press too much into the language there, but notice that here we are to testify of our thankfulness. We testify of our thankfulness. Well, first of all, by publicly coming to the table, we are making some kind of a testament there, but we are want to talk about testifying of our thankfulness. Webster defines to testify as to make a solemn declaration, a verbal or written, to establish some fact, to give testimony for the purpose of communicating it to others, a knowledge of something not known to them. So testifying of our thankfulness means that we proclaim it, we reveal it, we show it. And would you say that the people who know you in this world, do they know you are a thankful person? Are you a thankful person? You don't have to tell them if you're thankful. They'll see you that you're thankful. It's kind of like being funny. You know, if you're funny, you don't have to tell people you're funny. People just know you're funny. Are you thankful? Do people just see that in you, in your life, that you're a thankful person for your spiritual blessings? Also, we see the subject before us of renewing our thankfulness. Renewing, that got me to really thinking this week, because the idea of renewing something, the definition of it is to renovate, to restore to a former state or to a good state after decay or deprivation, to rebuild, to repair, to reestablish, to make new. And so that made me think that sometimes in our giving thanks, we're not where we should be. And so there's a sense in which we want to reestablish our thankfulness. We want to get back to where we were. And let's be honest today, the Lord's Supper is something that comes into our lives. Sometimes it kind of invades our time. It just comes on a particular time of the year or a particular time when the church is ready to celebrate that. But that may, your life may not be ready. Maybe in your life there's chaos, there's trouble, there's spiritual trouble. And so today, if you're not as thankful as you should be, maybe you come to the Lord's Supper tired. Maybe you come confused. Maybe you're just not very thankful today. I mean, let's be honest, when we're troubled, when we are having issues in life, when we're having family problems or job problems, what's the thing that tends to be missing in that equation? We're usually not thankful for trouble. We're not thankful for trials. And we're not thankful as we should be. So let's keep in mind then that as we come to the table, we might have been caught up into the world and not be thankful today as we come. But let's use this opportunity to testify of our thankfulness, to renew our thankfulness. If it's lacking, if there's a problem, let's renew that as we come to the table. Let's turn to our text. I want us to see three particular ways that we are encouraged to give thanks in our text before us. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. First of all, because of Christ's example, we are thankful. Because of Christ's example, Christ is thankful. Christ is always giving thanks in his earthly ministry. He is always in his prayers. He is always giving us the example of being thankful. Look at verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed," he took bread, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "and when he had given thanks," in verse 24, when he had given thanks, Christ gives thanks. It's probably one of those things in the passage that we tend to overlook. It's one of those things, sometimes the most basic observation is the one that we should make, and we tend to overlook it here, but the Lord Jesus gives thanks. What better encouragement can there be to give thanks than that Jesus gave thanks? Jesus gives us an example here. What's he thankful for in our passage? What is Christ thankful for? Well, in a certain sense, he's holding bread in his hands, and we would say then that he's thankful for the bread, but is there something greater happening here? What is he talking about as he's holding that bread and giving thanks? He's about to break it. So there's a spiritual imagery that is here in our passage. So I certainly think that the Lord Jesus gives thanks. We see another passage in Matthew 15 where he, with the 7 loaves and the fish, he took them and he gave thanks. He broke them and he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the multitude. So there's a certain sense in which I obviously believe that the Lord Jesus would give thanks before a meal, which amazingly all Christians don't do that. I don't know why we don't always give thanks before we eat. That's a simple application. But Jesus is talking about something greater here, is he not? He's talking about what is about to happen with his body. John Calvin says, "This giving of thanks, however, has a reference to something higher. For Christ gives thanks to the Father for his mercy towards the human race and the inestimable benefit of redemption. And he invites us, by his example, to raise up our minds as often as we approach the sacred table to an acknowledgement of the boundless love of God towards us, and to have our minds kindled up to true gratitude." So if Christ is thankful in the breaking of the bread and the provision that God is giving to his people, so then we ought to be thankful. And the Lord's Supper gives us that wonderful reminder to be thankful. Interestingly, all 4 of the Gospels actually record Christ giving thanks on that occasion with the dividing of the food, the bread and the fish. And so there's certainly an example there that's given by the Lord Jesus. May we take this opportunity to follow the example of our Lord and be a thankful people. Well, secondly, we see that we are reminded to give thanks not only by the example of Christ, but by the work of Christ, what he does. What is he doing in our passage? We see that he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread, and he said, "Take and eat," and here's the spiritual application of the supper, "This is my body, which is broken for you, and this, do this in remembrance of me." So the whole purpose of Christ giving the disciples this beautiful, if you just think about the beautiful visual imagery of the bread, really is to show his work upon the cross. It's to show his work. Christ is about to die. What's happening in our passage here? What's happening in the gospel accounts when Jesus is giving that bread? He's about to go to the cross. So first of all, I want you to notice, let's dive in a little bit deeper into the imagery that's here. What does Christ do with the bread, first of all? What does he do in our passage? He took the bread. You see how he takes the bread up off the table. What if there was no bread on the table? You see the imagery that's there? What is the bread representing to us by the fact that it's there? By the fact that it's there, we remember that Jesus came into the world, that Jesus was willing to come. We see there in the taking up of the bread, the true nature of the Lord Jesus Christ taking upon himself to become a man, fully God and fully man. He comes as the sacrifice of sins, born of Mary, fully God, fully man. I want to keep saying that because it's so important. But why does he do that? To live a full life of perfection and then to obey the law of God. But then what is Christ ultimately? He is himself a sacrifice, to give himself as the sacrifice to redeem his people. So when that bread is there, able to be taken up, it is a testimony, really, of Christ's willingness to be the sacrifice. Are we thankful for that today? See, there's an opportunity to be thankful that Christ was willing to come. Revelation chapter 5 is a wonderful example, in fact, of a scene that is put out before us. in Revelation chapter 5, there's a scene where I saw a strong angel in verse 2 proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And listen to what happens in verse 3. "No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." And what happens in verse 4? "And I wept. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.'" And in this passage, as we go down, we see then that there was a singing and rejoicing because Christ was willing to come. You see, the imagery there is what would happen if there was no bread? Then we would be weeping today. We wouldn't be gathered together. We'd have no hope. But the very fact that Christ took up the bread, that Christ reveals himself to be willing in the passage, is a beautiful thing that you and I should be thankful for. Philippians chapter 2 reveals to us the Lord Jesus being willing to come. In verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." So in the taking up of the bread, we see that Christ was willing to come, to be a servant, to humble himself for his people. Christ taking up the bread is in effect an exhibiting of that bread, holding it up so that the disciples could see that he was willing to come. May the Lord's Supper then for you and I today be an opportunity to testify and renew our thankfulness that Christ would come for us, that we have become his people. Now, secondly, in our passage, we see not only does Christ take up the bread, but then what does he do next in our passage? There's the breaking of the bread. The breaking of the bread. This bread is broken then to show us Christ's broken body. In the breaking of the bread, we see the suffering and the humiliation of Christ. This is a simple action, isn't it, really, just breaking bread? I mean, we do this all the time when we eat. We may tear a piece of bread. We don't think of really anything else about it. It's just simply breaking bread. But in the Lord's Supper, the breaking of the bread is very significant, isn't it? I'm always amazed. You know, I guess growing up, we used those little cracker things. You've seen those, and you just had a little cracker as part of the Lord's Supper. And there was really something that's missed there in the visual imagery, isn't it? You can't really see this a lot of times. Our table's long. Maybe you sit at the opposite end. But when I take that bread up, or a pastor, whoever's giving communion, that when they tear the bread. You can't always hear it, but when I tear the bread, I'm always hearing it. I hear the tearing. And I always think when that happens, I think of Christ's body being broken. I think of that. I hope that you see that. That imagery that is there, just the sound of it is significant, and it makes me think of the tearing of Christ's flesh. The Larger Catechism, question 49, asks, "How did Christ humble himself at his death?" Christ humbled himself in his death in that having been betrayed by Judas, forsaken by his disciples, scorned and rejected by the world, condemned by Pilate and tormented by his persecutors, having also conflicted with the terrors of death, the powers of darkness, felt and borne the weight of God's wrath, he laid down his life an offering for sin, enduring the painful, shameful, and cursed death of the cross. And wonderful imagery that's there. Pray that it's not lost, but I also pray that drives you to being thankful. Just hearing that and seeing that you would be thankful that Christ gave himself for your sins. He gave himself for the sins of his people. Let's be thankful today that Christ was not only willing to come, but that Christ was willing to suffer for us, for his body to be broken. Next in our passage, we see that Christ distributes the bread. He distributes the bread, right? The bread was there. He breaks it. Well, he doesn't keep it to himself, does he? He distributes it. There's imagery there in the fact that the broken body of Christ is being applied to his people. It's being spread. The Lord Jesus giving of himself to his apostles. Now, John Gill mentions on this particular passage, he said, this action of breaking the bread was used in order to be distributed that everyone might partake as all Israelites did at the Passover, and not as these Corinthians at their antisuppers when one was full and another hungry. Remember, that was one of the problems that we're dealing with in 1 Corinthians 11. But Christ broke the bread that everyone might have a part, as every believer may and ought who may eat of this bread and drink of the wine and feed by faith on Christ and take every blessing procured by him to themselves. Matthew Henry says, our Savior, having undertaken to make an offering of himself to God and procure by his death a remission of sins with all other gospel benefits, for true believers did at the institution deliver his body and blood with all the benefits procured by his death to his disciples. And here's the application to us. He continues to do the same every time the ordinance is administered to true believers. It's one of the things we are acknowledged today. When a man stands in the pulpit, a preacher, a pastor preaches, this is God speaking. You know, and we know that there are imperfections there in that, but in what is delivered, we would see that as God speaking to me as I would through the Word. Well, the same thing when an elder or a pastor breaks and distributes the bread. This is Christ giving the bread to you. And you understand that's being pictured there for you. And it's a beautiful thing to picture, that Christ distributes the bread. Now, lastly, there's another thing that's pictured with the bread. Not only is it there, not only is it broken, not only is it distributed, but someone takes it. Someone has to take that bread and eat that bread for that imagery really to come full cycle. What if the bread is there and it's broken and it's distributed, but by something happening in my life, I'm rebellious, I won't take it. You see, we have to take the supper. We have to receive it. And there's a part of the imagery that is before us. Matthew Henry says there is here exhibited or set forth as the food of souls. The food of souls. And as food, though ever so wholesome or rich, will yield no nourishment without being eaten. Here the communicants are to take and eat, or to receive Christ and feed upon him, his grace and benefits, and by faith convert them into nourishment to their souls. They are to take him as their Lord and life, and yield themselves up to him and live upon him. There's so much application, really, that's there. What if we try to come to the supper without faith? We can't expect to receive any benefit from the supper. We must come with faith. And so today, each of these elements as well, there are opportunities for us to be thankful. We're thankful that Christ was not only willing to come, not only willing to suffer, and not only willing to distribute and give his grace to me personally, but that his death is the dying for my sins. Now, sometimes in the church today, this is something we're hypersensitive to. There's so much about me, right? It's a very individualistic church in our day. The gospel's all about me, and there's no covenant. And you can see that. You know that. We've talked about that often. Most churches focus on the individual rather than a group, but we don't want to make the error then of always only thinking about covenant and group and never thinking about me as an individual. Because this is what we're talking about here. This sacrifice, the breaking that bread, is for my sin. It's for your sin. And I hope that you're thankful for that as we talk about the subject today of being thankful. We should be thankful for the work that the Lord Jesus has done upon the cross for us covenantally, but also individually. The Lord's Supper gives us the opportunity then. What were our two things we're looking at? Testifying of our thankfulness and renewing our thankfulness. Who among us today is thankful enough? We all fall short. We all fall short in giving thanks. And we fall short often in giving thanks because we just don't think of it. We need to be reminded. Let's be reminded today, and let the Lord's Supper then be that which gives us the reminder. Now let's close our time by looking at our third encouragement toward being thankful. First of all, we saw that Christ encourages us to be thankful by his example, right? Secondly, he encourages us to be thankful by his work. Well, now let's see that Christ encourages us to be thankful by his command. It is not just a suggestion to us today to be thankful. We're commanded to be thankful. In other words, then we must be thankful. Look at 1 Corinthians here, verse 26. After all that the Lord has said, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So then the Lord's Supper, it isn't something that we view as being a one-time event. It's not something that happened here in the New Testament and then we don't observe it anymore. It's a continual thing that we observe. It's something that we continually do. Christ not only serves then the supper to his disciples, but he gives them a perpetual command to continue to celebrate the supper. What happens in the celebrating of the supper? To proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. My friends, each and every time we come to the table, however many times it may be, for our church, and historically it has been four times in a year. But notice how many times you will come to the table throughout your life. The Lord gives you a long and full life in our church, and our church is here for generations. You'll come to the table who knows how many times. Let that be an opportunity to be reminded to give thanks, to think of what Christ has done. It's very easy for us to take spiritual gifts for granted. It's very easy. And I hope that you know how easy that it is to take them for granted, and that you would give your attention today to giving thanks. Let's look at our last in the worship order here. Larger Catechism question 169 is a helpful one for us to close on. How hath Christ appointed bread and wine to be given and received in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? Christ hath appointed the ministers of his word in the administration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to set apart the bread and wine from common use by the word of institution, thanksgiving, and prayer. To take the and break the bread, to give both the bread and the wine to the communicants who are, by the same appointment, to take and eat the bread and to drink the wine in thankful remembrance that the body of Christ was broken and given and his blood shed for them. Being thankful is sadly something we fall short of. We fall short of that. It's interesting if you think about through the Larger Catechism as a really good example for us today. Throughout the Larger Catechism, there are many times we're reminded to be thankful. And maybe if you're struggling today with being thankful, there are some ways you can see that why you have that problem. Well, first of all, we would say that the law of God is one of the ways that We are reminded to be more thankful. Larger Catechism, question 97, says that the law of God should provoke them to more thankfulness. We live in a time when churches are antinomian, when there's a rebellion against the law. Maybe that has affected our ability to be thankful. Maybe you're neglecting the law. The Holy Spirit also is one of the ways, certainly a primary way that we're thankful, because the Holy Spirit presses us into being thankful. What if we're neglecting the Holy Spirit? What if we're rebelling against the Holy Spirit and not listening and following the Holy Spirit? Then we won't be thankful. So that's two particular ways. Another way, just by way of application with the law, let's look at the individual commandments. In each of the individual commandments, many of them call us to be thankful. As we look through the larger catechism as an example, each of the commandments presses us toward being thankful. Not only just the law in general. Another way might be our baptism. And we talked last week about neglecting our baptism and not improving it. Well, in baptism, when we're present at the administration of it in others, by serious and thankful consideration of the nature of it and the ends for which Christ instituted it, the privileges and benefits conferred and sealed thereby, and our solemn vow made therein. So question 167 tells us that we should be thankful in our baptism. If you're not thankful today, maybe you're neglecting your baptism. I think finally, another example, if you aren't thankful today, maybe it's your prayer life. Because you see, that's one of the things with prayer. Question 178 of the larger catechism, we see that prayer helps us to offer up our desires to God in the name of Christ by the help of His Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. If you're not thankful today, maybe it's prayer that's the problem. Maybe our prayer life is suffering because we're not thankful. Make those connections. Thanksgiving is connected with the law of God. It's connected with baptism. It's connected with the Lord's Supper, as we're seeing today, but it's also connected to prayer. And over in the Word of God, we're reminded to be thankful. So if we're not thankful, it's possible we're also neglecting the Word of God as a whole. You had to answer that question that I asked you earlier. You know, when someone asks you a question publicly, you in your mind, you're thinking of an answer, I hope. Are you thankful enough? Look at some of these reasons why we may not be thankful today. Let's keep those in mind as we come to the table. All the things we've looked at then today, they press us on toward giving thanks. And all of these things have something in common. They're all connected to Christ. They're all connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come today, we've been talking about the words of Christ, the works of Christ, the commands of Christ. All of these things are connected with Christ. And so if we are to be a thankful people, we are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, today in the hearing of God's word, it's possible you are apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you enjoy none of these precious benefits that we've looked at today. If you're not thankful enough, I'm sure that you're not if you're apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are reasons for that. Because you don't even know how to be thankful if you're apart from Christ. You don't know what to be thankful for. And honestly, if you're apart from Christ, you won't even know how to give thanks. I pray today that in the hearing of God's holy word and through the work of the Holy Spirit, that you would go to Christ. Run to the Lord Jesus and seek Christ today while he may be found. Christian, today, let us turn our hearts to the Lord's Supper, and may we give thanks for all that He has given to us. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father in heaven, we pray that our time together this morning would grant us an opportunity to testify and renew our thankfulness for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. It is in His holy name that we pray. Amen.